forget. I'm not sure it could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out.
We're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Your host, Michael Herzog, coming with you live from... coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest, John Hanke. We're talking about the JFK assassination and the Bush connection here. And again, I want to give out John's website. It's bushkilledjfk.com. Go in there and take a look around. Order a video, folks. Have a barbecue. Summer's not over yet. Invite your friends, neighbors, and relatives over and enlighten them. And also, we're going to have John on all this week. I would implore you to call your friends, neighbors, relative, barber, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, and have them listen to the show. Because there's a whole bunch of information coming down the pike here that they need to be aware of.
So well, tomorrow we're going to talk about the murder of J. and John Kennedy Jr.
Right, John Kennedy Jr., that's right. I'm glad you brought that up. You need to get a hold of all your friends and neighbors and your relatives and your barber, your butcher, your baker, and we're going to talk about the JFK Jr. assassination and the implications involved in that. So that'll be a great show as well. Now, I'm going to, as soon as this segment is over, which we've got a short segment here, John, then I'm going to open up the phone lines after we come back from the break. But in the meantime, get back to what you're talking about, and we'll kind of intersperse some knowledge and some information in between phone calls. So go ahead.
Well, let me try to talk fast. This Hoover memo is really the chief piece of evidence against Bush connecting him to the assassination. There's a photograph of Bush in Dealey Plaza that I don't find persuasive. It could just easily have been my father. It's very, very, it's not very clear. But the Hoover memo is astonishingly clear. Another reason to get the DVD is that you can see JFK to the Bush connection. You can see the major segment. But there's another segment called Deep History that's not available online that is on the DVD, which details the fact that, the overwhelming evidence that Lee Harvey Oswald was an FBI agent. Many people know because it's been widely publicized, the first meeting of the Warren Commission, the Attorney General of the state of Texas, Wade, called the people sitting on the Warren Commission as it was meeting and said, "You should know, I'd like to tell you that Lee Harvey Oswald was an FBI agent. His employee identification number was, I think, S12, and he was receiving $200 a month." The question is, what was he doing? And it's very, very clear that Oswald was investigating the CIA for the FBI. That is to say, that's a very thick path to go down, but it appears the Kennedy administration was trying to shut down the CIA anti-Castro Cuban terrorist training camps. Oswald was seen. It's in the Warren Commission documents. The witness testified that she saw Oswald there the week before the FBI arrived to shut down the CIA training camps. And shortly thereafter, it's also fairly clear that Oswald was recruited back into the CIA, and he was shipped off to Dallas. And he continued, Marita Loren says that he was in the room with the rest of these people, including E. Howard Hunt. He had infiltrated the killers. So he was, it's very clear that he was working for the FBI and had investigated the terrorist training camps, and that the training camp at Lake Pontchartrain was shut down as a result of Oswald's participation. And it also is apparent that he, when he was in Dallas, that he was still working for the FBI, spying on the CIA, and that he had been penetrated the circle of killers. There goes our time. But the point is that Hoover, when he wrote this memo, knew who the killers were. He knew who had done this, and in writing the memo, so this is a very, very powerful and important memo, and he names George Bush.
All right, we'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, John Hanke. Stick with us. We got a lot more. And I'll open the phone lines.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I want to mention to you, before I go back to my guest, I have got links up to the JFK 2 and JFK Jr. assassinations. And you can go into my website, www.theamericanawakening.org, and you can click on and watch it for yourself. But the idea, folks, is to spread this around. The idea is to get some of these videos, pass them out, invite your friends and neighbors over, watch them, educate these people. As I mentioned before, I am going to be going out here probably, hopefully, in the next week, and I'm going to start interviewing people and waking up them up to the North American Union and also other issues that we all need to be concerned with, and I'm going to do that to solve the equation of waking people up and also building the listenership. But you need to do the same thing, folks. You need to get a camera. You need to get a tape recorder. You need to go out and start interviewing people. You need to start waking people up. Without any further ado, let's get back to John Hanke and continue along with the story. John, go ahead.
Well, so we have this Hoover memo written by J. Edgar Hoover 5 days after the assassination about a meeting that took place. And this memo was entitled Assassination of John F. Kennedy, and it names Bush as a supervisor of the anti-Castro Cubans who have been named both by Robert Kennedy's advisors and by the Senate Committee, Senate Assassinations Committee, as being the most investigation-worthy suspects in the murder of John Kennedy. And so Bush is named by Hoover as a supervisor of those. Hoover was confronted with this memo. The Nation magazine published it, and then the rest of the media picked it up, and he was confronted with it when he was running for re-election, Bush Sr. And he said, well, obviously, well, he says, oh, that's not me. Must be another George Bush. And so what I did in the video is go through and investigate the likelihood that it was another George Bush and just see, right, let's look at the circumstantial evidence regarding Bush's background and his whereabouts at the time to see whether it suggests that he indeed was doing something entirely different or whether it suggests that he was deeply involved in CIA activities. And what you find is that, first of all, when Bush was in college at Yale, he was a member of Skull and Bones. Well, all right, he was a member of Skull and Bones. He was a member of Skull and Bones the year that the son of the head of hiring for the CIA was in Skull and Bones, so that he was a brother under the skin, closer than any other relationship they say, right, a blood relationship they consider it, to Endicott Peabody Davison, who was the son of F. Truby Davison, who was the head of hiring for CIA. So if you're a CIA recruiter, which F. Truby Davison was, and you're looking for somebody that you can trust, that you know you can handle the most controversial and outrageous secret and count on them to keep it, here is a guy who is the next best thing to being your own son. Well, okay, I don't know that that proves anything. When he left Yale, he went to work for Neil Mallon. Neil Mallon has been identified as a recruiter for CIA. Now, my favorite question to have anybody ask me is, how do you know that Neil Mallon was a recruiter for CIA? Because Prescott Bush wrote a letter that's in the public record. It's in his papers, which are preserved, I think, at Yale, that it's a letter from it's a letter from Prescott Bush to Senator Henry Jackson about Neil Mallon, and in which Prescott Bush says Neil Mallon is a recruiter for the CIA and helps Alan Dulles in finding, you know, talented individuals for that important work. So, and in addition to which, Prescott Bush goes to work for Neil Mallon. He leaves from being brother under skin to the head of hiring, or the son of the head of hiring, and he goes to work for a CIA recruiter. And when he leaves, he goes and he founds Zapata Offshore Oil, which is doing its main work in the Caribbean, 30 miles off the coast of Cuba, which is where the CIA is at a feverish pace preparing for the Bay of Pigs invasion. Well, what's very interesting is lumping that together with the fact that E. Howard Hunt had been working for Averell Harriman, and at the same time, E. Howard Hunt left Averell Harriman's office and went to work on the Bay of Pigs. Richard Bissell was the chief of operations for the CIA at the time. During the Bay of Pigs, before he was chief of operations, he was working for Averell Harriman. So Hunt leaves Averell Harriman and goes to work at the Bay of Pigs. Richard Bissell, the chief of operations, leaves Averell Harriman and goes to work on the Bay of Pigs. And Harriman's closest associate, Prescott Bush, sends his son from Harriman's office to go work at Zapata Offshore, which is in the center of the CIA's operations for the Bay of Pigs. The Bay of Pigs operation, the code name for the Bay of Pigs operation, was Operation Zapata. And the DVD then details how George Bush has a habit of naming things in his personal life after thing. I'm sorry, naming things in his professional life after things in his personal life, and Zapata Offshore having Operation Zapata, the CIA chief operation in the area at the time, named after his oil company, would certainly fit the profile of Bush doing that sort of thing. In addition to which, Neil Mallon, the CIA recruiter, this is another thing that's in the public record, wrote a letter to Prescott Bush, which is the reason that it's in the public record, saying, you and I are going to meet with Alan Dulles to discuss our mutual project in the Caribbean. The only thing that would have tied Prescott Bush, Neil Mallon, and Alan Dulles together is the Bay of Pigs. But the only thing that they all linked them to the Bay of Pigs was, for Neil Mallon, the only thing that linked him to the Bay of Pigs operation was the fact that he had prepared George H.W. Bush to go to work in this area. The only thing that would have linked Prescott is the fact that his son had gone to work in this area. And, of course, Alan Dulles was the head of the CIA who was preparing for this operation at the Bay of Pigs. The point is that for Bush to say that he was not in the CIA at the time is not credible. It is absolutely not credible. There couldn't possibly, you couldn't possibly ask. I mean, given that anyone's participation in the CIA is a secret, this is a ridiculous amount of circumstantial evidence, in addition to which, as we mentioned before, E. Howard Hunt, the single individual who has the most evidence connecting him to the Kennedy assassination and who has, in fact, confessed to having been involved in the Kennedy assassination, was also in this area at this time conducting the same work. And then, right, so you have this web of connections that just carries itself all the way through up into Watergate, where, again, as I mentioned, Hunt is connected, the only connection between the White House and E. Howard Hunt that anybody could come up with is George Bush, who was working in the White House at the time and was the only person in the White House who had any connections to CIA operations. One of the really extraordinary things connecting Bush to the assassination is that the day of the assassination, he called the FBI and said that he had heard James Parrott talking about murdering Kennedy. Now, this is extraordinary from any number of points of view, but one of them, and to me perhaps the most important one, is that in his conversation, according to the FBI, he puts himself in the Dallas area. There's an alleged photograph, as I mentioned before, that allegedly shows Bush in front of the book depository. I don't think it shows. It may be Bush, but you can't tell from the photograph. I think that as a piece of evidence, it's worthless. However, you have this FBI memo in which Bush says that he was in the Dallas area. Well, Bush didn't work in the Dallas area. His offices were, I think it's Houston. Zapata Offshore's offices were in Houston.
Okay. He says he doesn't even remember where he was. I remember, along with Nixon, said the same thing.
Yes. When
I was hailing a cab.
Confronted with the evidence, when questioned about his phone call to the FBI, he said that he didn't recall it. And all of us, I think, remember very, very vividly where we were on September 11th when we heard about the terrorist attacks. Everybody that is my age remembers very, very vividly. I was sitting in my sixth grade classroom. I could take you to the building. I could take you to the room. I could take you to the desk and point to you where I was sitting when the principal came to the door with tears in her eyes to announce. I mean, first she came looking shocked and said that the president had been shot, and she came back a few minutes later to say that the president was dead, and with tears in her eyes. And everybody, I mean, that's the common experience of people who are old enough to remember it at all, is that they have a very, very vivid recollection. Bush, however, doesn't remember. He doesn't remember having phone called the FBI about such an important matter, and it's just ridiculous. You were mentioning Nixon, who was also very, very heavily connected to the Bush family. Prescott Bush, according to Nixon, recruited Nixon to run for Congress. So, and why and upon what basis? But in any case, and we've already connected Prescott to Harriman and to Hunt and to the assassination. But then Nixon wanted to hire John Connally, who was also implicated in the assassination, and we can go on into that in just a second. But so Connally is implicated. Nixon calls Connally and says, "I want you to come work in the White House." And Connally says, "Not until you hire George Bush first." And if you get George Bush's autobiography and look up John Connally, there's nothing in there to tie him to Connally. According to Bush's autobiography, he and Connally never had a friendly conversation about anything. They were rivals running for president. But other than that, there's no contact. But when Nixon wants to hire Connally to come work, I think, as Secretary of Commerce, it was either Commerce or the Treasury, Connally says, "No, you got to hire George Bush." So there's some very, very secret and also very, very important connection between Bush and Connally. If we got a minute, I'll talk about Connally's connection to the assassination, which is also detailed in my DVD. Connally, and on, you get to hear it. Immediately after the assassination, Connally's talking to reporters, and apparently his mind and recollection has already grown fuzzy, because he says that after he was shot, he heard a shot and he looked in the back and he saw that the president had been hit, and that then he was shot, showing that he was hit. He and the president were hit by two separate bullets.
No, he didn't say that at all. What he said was, and we got to go to a break, he said, "and he slumped."
Now, we'll go into that when we get back from break. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my special and very knowledgeable guest, John Hankey, who has the videos on JFK 2 and JFK Jr. assassination. Be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Short segment coming up to the bottom of the hour. And I said after, right at the top of the hour, I said, I'm going to open up the phone lines in the second half. And I forgot to open up the phone lines. So the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. If you have a question or comment for my guest, John Hankey, feel free to give us a call. And with that, let's continue. We've got a short segment, so we only got 4 minutes, and then we'll have a long segment after that, John. So go ahead.
Well, we were talking about Connally and Bush's connections to Connally. And I was saying that that Connally has lied about, well, he's dead, but has lied about what happened that day that he, when he was interviewed in the hospital. I guess, I mean, we were having a you were correcting me, and you're right that the issue isn't.
I was just funning with you.
Well, no, I mean,
I've seen your videos twice, and believe me, they're meticulously done. And I would implore everybody, okay, go in and watch it. If you don't have the money to buy it, fine, go in and watch it. You can go and watch it right on my website, www.theamericanawakening.org. But if you've got the time and you can, you know, or you got the money, you know, buy a copy, buy two, buy five copies. Pass them out to your neighbors, folks. Very meticulously done, very well researched, and I congratulate and commend you for that, John. Go ahead.
Well, and it's also not copyrighted, and it's not right protected, so you can easily make copies and pass them out. But so Connally in the hospital says that he turned around and he saw that the president had slumped. And the clear implication was that the president had been hit, but that's not the point essentially, I don't suppose, because a couple of months later, he had a press conference in which he says that he turned around and he didn't see the president. He makes these very, very clear and explicit about this time he says he didn't see the president. And the reason is because the single bullet theory, well, because the Warren Commission is confronted with this problem of the evidence of the number of shots, and they are in the process of developing the ridiculous single bullet theory, and that in order to support that, they have to get Connally to lie and say that he didn't see the president, he didn't see the president looking as if he were hit, and so that he could then allow them room to claim that he and the president were hit by separate bullets. The point is that he's cooperating with the killers. He's lying in order to cooperate with the people who are trying to cover up the murder, and he is also then likewise connected to Nixon, who we'll get to in a second, but and also, as I was explaining in the prior segment, that when Nixon called up Connally and said, "I want you to come work for me," Connally said, "You got to hire George Bush first," and there's absolutely nothing that you can find to explain why Connally would say that. There is obviously a connection between George Bush and John Connally, but it isn't in Bush's autobiography. Looking Forward, I think, is the name of it. So where is it, and what is it? And I would suggest that given all of this other evidence, that it again, fits neatly into this giant web of evidence indicating that George Bush was involved in the assassination, as Hoover indicates in his memo, as a supervisor of the anti-Castro Cubans. I was then going to pick up Nixon, who ends up being sort of a center of all of this. There's a number of things tying Nixon to the assassination, and his connection to George Bush Sr. is the least of them. Nixon was... It's really, really clever. How much time do we have?
We got a couple minutes till the break, but we got another half hour after that.
No, well, I know. I just mean to the break.
Oh, yeah.
J. Edgar Hoover is just... my investigation, I was not brought up to respect and admire J. Edgar Hoover, but my investigation...
Well, but wait a minute. Isn't he related to Rudy Giuliani? They're both cross-dressers, are they not?
Anyway, I don't know and don't care, and it's not the point. Hoover gets criticized for a lot of things, and not, like I said, I wasn't brought up to and I suppose I was. He's famous for not investigating the mafia, and there's a certain element of suggestion that he was incompetent, but you don't see any of that. The Kennedys told him to shut down the CIA training camps, and he began doing it, and he did it, and he used Lee Harvey Oswald to do it. When the president was murdered, I'm certain that Hoover had the case solved before the shots were fired. Because of the evidence that he was receiving from Lee Harvey Oswald, that's what the evidence suggests. In any case, Hoover had the FBI. They went in and they interviewed Marina Oswald, and I believe that they lied and said that Marina said that Oswald was also planning to kill Nixon. That comes out of the clear blue sky. There's no reason to think that that story is not entirely invented. So it's invented by the FBI. So the FBI now has probable cause to interview Nixon. And they interview Nixon. And they say, "Have you ever been to Dallas?" Well, I think that they had whiff that Nixon had been to Dallas. But they see, you know, they want to see, well, let's go with this. This is how, right, when they get you in and put you on the hot seat, they want to get you to lie so that, if nothing else, they can put you in prison for lying to the FBI. So they get Nixon in there, and they say, "Have you ever been to Dallas?" And Nixon starts sweating and says, "No." And the FBI says, "Oh, yeah, you were there the day Kennedy was murdered. Don't you remember?" And Nixon says, "Oh, yeah, now that you mention it, I remember." So
did he say that? I mean, because I recall, and I think it was out of your video, that he says, "No, I was hailing a cab, and a woman came out the door screaming."
Well, that's another story, right? That's another story. But this is Jim Mars. I haven't gotten my hands on the documents, but I regard Jim Mars as absolutely the most reliable Kennedy investigator. To denigrate anybody, but Mars says that the FBI asked Nixon if he was in Dallas, and he said no. And then they said, "Oh, yes, you were."
Hold the thought. We've got to take a break, and I'm right on the same page. I think Jim Mars is meticulous as well. Be right back. Michael Herzog with my guest, John Hankey. See you in three. We got more.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our web banner for the address.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Awakening with my special guest, John Hankey. With me all week, by the way, and we're going to be covering JFK. We're going to be covering JFK 2, the assassination of JFK 2. We're going to be covering the Holocaust. We're going to be covering the book out that Vincent Bugliosi, is it, that wrote that newest book, John?
Yes, Bugliosi wrote the latest piece of crap about... Well... And what can you call it? Endorsement of the Warren Commission, which has been so discredited. But there's a number of important books. There's a number of books that have gotten a lot of press, and that's one of them. And the other one is Brothers by David Talbot, a very, very nice piece and an important piece of work about the relationship between John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, and also about Robert Kennedy's attempts to investigate the murder of his brother.
Okay. By the way, the phone lines are still open, folks. 800-313-9443 if you have a question or comment for my guest. Okay, where were we? We were talking about, well, we mentioned Jim Mars and talking about the research.
We're talking about Nixon.
Nixon, yeah, we're back to Nixon. That's right. Okay, go ahead. Continue with Nixon.
Well, just that, you know, we said that everybody remembers where they were when they heard about the Kennedy assassination, but Nixon forgot that he was in Dallas when he was speaking to the FBI. I think the FBI knew he was in Dallas, and they wanted an excuse. You know, right? You can't just walk up to a lawyer who knows his rights and start asking him questions if you're an FBI agent. You have to have probable cause. And so they made up this story about Marina Oswald saying that Oswald was planning to kill Nixon. So then they had probable cause, and they went up to him, and they had information that he was in Dallas, and they said, were you ever in Dallas? And he said, no. So, I mean, there's one indication that he was lying. But then also, this is from Fletcher Prouty's book. Fletcher Prouty, you know, is widely read and details that Nixon, and they were doing retrospectives, I think, on the 10 and 20-year anniversaries of the assassination. And on the 10-year anniversary of the assassination, he told Reader's Digest that he was driving through the city of New York, coming back, right, he had flown in from Dallas into New York and was leaving the airport, and a woman came running up from the curb screaming, saying that the president had been shot. And then another 10 years after that, he told Esquire magazine that he was driving through the city when a guy standing on the curb started shouting at them that the president had been shot. And, you know, my point is that everybody remembers. I remember whether it was the principal or the assistant principal or the teacher, or you remember that sort of a detail, but Nixon doesn't. If on the day of the assassination you had called the FBI to tell them who you thought might have been involved, I think that we all would have remembered that phone call, but George Bush doesn't, and John Connally doesn't seem to remember. He says he heard a shot and he turned around, but he doesn't remember whether he saw the president the first time on the day of the assassination. He said that he saw the president, and the second time, a month or so later, and all of this is on video in the DVD, he tells the reporters that he didn't see the president. He's very, very explicit about the fact that he didn't see the president the second time. Go ahead.
I was going to say, but shortly thereafter, I know E. Howard Hunt winds up in jail and puts a note out to Nixon that he wants $2 million or he's going to start squealing. Now, am I right in the same timeline here?
No, that was after Watergate.
Oh, that was after. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, right? So we're all right.
He was the head of the misguided anti-Castro Cubans at Watergate, which is a whole interesting other area. Haldeman thinks that Watergate was used to set Nixon up in order to take him down. He thought that it was not a Nixon operation, that it was a CIA operation, and that it was orchestrated to take Nixon out of office. It was essentially, right, an assassination. It was a coup, right, to get Nixon out. And before they did that, they made sure that they got rid of Spiro Agnew and moved in Gerald Ford, who was on the Warren Commission, and as Ford's vice president, just in case he wanted to screw up. Well, and then there were assassination attempts on Ford. But they get, and who's Ford's vice president? Nelson Rockefeller. Right? So yeah. This is all very sweet. Anyhow,
just a little happy-go-lucky, good old boy click going there.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, geez, have we dotted all the I's and crossed? Oh, I was going to say that there was one other thing that this issue about Zapata Offshore, right, and whether or not Zapata Offshore was a CIA front. And I found this information, and I didn't think that it was necessary to include it in my DVD because I thought the information in there was already overwhelming in terms of proving the fact that Bush was in the CIA at the time that Kennedy was murdered and at the time that he says that he wasn't and at the time that that he was supervising these Cubans at the time that Hoover is connecting them to the assassination. Anyhow, there has also come out, you know, there are millions of pages of documents that have been declassified, and that's another strategy that the killers use to hide themselves, is that they just, first of all, they go through and they screen out everything that they can that they think is of any significance and burn it, and then they release millions of pages that they know are irrelevant in order to bury anything that may have missed their attention. Well, one of the things that missed their attention was this Hoover memo. I mean, they released that. They didn't understand. Joseph McBride is the guy who found it. I was struggling for a while to remember his name and published it in The Nation magazine. But then it was picked up by all the other media. Anyway, there has also recently been found just a couple of months ago among this ocean, I mean, of millions of pages some government documents indicating that at least one of the employees of Zapata Offshore was a CIA agent, right, working for the CIA while he was working for Zapata Offshore. And, you know, it's not a big deal. It doesn't prove anything overwhelmingly until you put it into the context. And then it's just one more straw on the camel's back of the mountain of evidence weighing down in the direction that that George Bush Sr. was involved in this. Here's an element. What was Bush doing politically during, before and after the Kennedy assassination? And before the Kennedy assassination, he wasn't doing anything politically. He was involved in the CIA operations in the Caribbean off the Cuban coast. And afterwards, after the Bay of Pigs, he was involved in continuing to supervise this assassination team. Oh, you were talking about Hunt. But anyway,
you want to take a call? Or you want to finish your point? Go ahead.
Or have I lost it? I've lost it. Where was I going with that? I don't know.
It really doesn't make any difference. Let's take a call.
Yeah, it really doesn't. There's all this evidence. There's a ton of evidence.
Don in Alabama. Don, you're on with Michael and John. Go ahead.
Yeah, excellent job on your video, John.
Thanks, Don.
I was wondering if you had seen the video with Robert Galen Ross interviewing Madeleine Duncan Brown. It's called the Clint Murchison meeting. It was a meeting that took place.
Sure.
In Dallas, the night
it was
before.
On the History Channel. In any case, I may not have seen the version you're referring to, but I saw the History Channel did a thing that I did. I think you correct me if I'm wrong. Did a pretty decent job, and thank you so much for raising this issue. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering if you had seen that video where Madeleine Duncan Brown, who was JFK's mistress,
Johnson
had named Hoover as one of the people being at that meeting.
What I saw was the History Channel, and on the History Channel they interview the chauffeur who says that he went and picked Hoover up and took him to the meeting and that he didn't get tipped and didn't seem too happy about it. But they also, I don't remember the woman's name, she's Johnson's mistress, and she claims that she has a child by Johnson, which I assume at this point is something that they could settle by DNA evidence if they cared to. Is that the one that you're referring to?
Yeah, her name was Madeleine Duncan Brown.
Right, and what she says, and you please add your interpretation, what I got from her interview was that Johnson went into a back room and was meeting with Murchison and the rest of these guys and came walking out and said, well, after tomorrow, those Kennedy bastards won't be able to bother me anymore, or something to that effect.
Yeah, that's basically what she said that he said.
Right. And the question is, what does that mean? And there are, right, I mean, Hunt, and this is something that we're supposed to take up in a future segment, but Hunt says that Johnson was behind the assassination, and there's a number of things about that, but let's take this Madeleine Duncan Brown, is that her name, statement. From her statement, what I get is that Johnson didn't know about the assassination coming into the party, but he goes to the party, he goes into the back room, and he learns about it. And I find that very, very, very credible, among other things. If I were the killers, you know, I can still call this off, and I have to know, right? I need to have some, I have to exchange a nod and a wink with Johnson to know that he is not going to pursue this thing. And that's what I take it as, that Johnson found out that night and that he gave them they nodded at him and he winked back to say, hey, you know, the Secret Service, I'm not in charge of the Secret Service and I'm not in charge of the FBI, and if whatever happens tomorrow is going to happen tomorrow, and, you know, if I can show my gratitude to the people who did this, I'm going to do it. There's a lot more involved, and I guess we could talk about some of that. But so, long story short, what I take that to indicate is that Johnson was not, as Hunt suggests, behind the assassination. He was not, as Hunt suggests, involved in planning the assassination, but that he was tipped off about it, and that he gave the guys their wink to say, yeah, go ahead, make me president.
Don, any further?
Well, I'm not sure if that was brought out on the video about Johnson not knowing before he went to the meeting or not.
Well, but you can, I mean, you can see the point. I think that's the implication.
But the main point I wanted to bring out was that J. Edgar Hoover and his lover, Clyde, I can't remember his last name,
Tolan,
was also at the meeting.
Which I don't think, see, and,
so I think
and you know, one of the things
about it before it happened.
Oh, Johnson, well, I'm sorry, Marita Lorenz, right, who I mentioned before, right? She was at the E. Howard Hunt trial, and she was in Operation 40, and she was at the motel in Dallas the day before Kennedy was murdered with Jack Ruby was there, she says, and Oswald was there, she says, and she names all of these other guys from Operation 40, right? I mean, the CIA counsel says, yeah, who else was there? And she just starts rattling off names because she knew all these guys. Anyway, if... As I think is very, very, very clear, Oswald was Hoover's agent, then Hoover knew before it happened. He knew the names of all the people involved. Although he at Oswald's level, he knew the names of all the people involved. And as I think he was able to entrap Nixon into showing that he was guilty and getting him to lie to the FBI and say, no, I was never in Dallas, so that, I mean, they could have prosecuted him at that point if they wanted to. All of these things are done so that Hoover can maintain his job, right? He can tell Nixon, look, you lied to my guys saying that you weren't in Dallas, and if you want, we'll prosecute you about it, or you just leave me as FBI director. I don't doubt that they invited Hoover to this party, but I think that they would do that for the same reason that they set an FBI agent up. I mean, the CIA knew that Oswald was an FBI agent. It's one of the points that I make on the DVD is that after Lake Pontchartrain was raided, I think it's very clear that immediately after Lake Pontchartrain was raided, the CIA quickly figured out who it was who ratted them out and how it was that this thing got broken up, and they identified that it was Oswald who did it, and they immediately approached Oswald and said, look, you know, we're sorry that we have neglected you and mistreated you the way that we have, and we want you to work for us, and we have a job for you in Dallas, and they sent him to Dallas. But I think that he continued to work for Hoover, so I suspect that Hoover continued to know about it. But what I was saying is that they set a guy that they knew was an FBI agent up for the murder in order to keep Hoover quiet, right? And I think that they invited him to the party for the same reason, in order to keep him quiet. Now, conceivably, and you know, all of us are looking at these bits and pieces, right? There's a puzzle with a million pieces, and we got about 30 of them. And we're looking at the 30 pieces that we have, trying to interpret what happened. And so I don't think you know, and I don't think anybody else knows. And we're having this conversation, trying to see what sounds reasonable. I think what sounds reasonable to me is that Johnson was tipped off because they had to know, right? They had to know that Johnson was not going to pursue this thing with a bunch of vigor, and that Hoover was there in order to compromise him, in order to catch him in a compromising situation, right? That this was a meeting of people who were involved in the assassination, and Hoover was there, which is another reason for Hoover not to investigate seriously, although I think that he did investigate seriously, and I think that he uncovered it, and I think that that's what we have in the Hoover memo. When Hoover contacted the CIA and said, we need to have a meeting, I want you to send some people here so that we can have a meeting to discuss the activities of your anti-Castro Cubans, he's investigating, and he's very, very anxious to see who shows up at the meeting. And the only important thing that he recorded in the memo was who showed up at the meeting. Virtually everything else in the memo is a blatant lie. I mean, the stuff about the anti-Castro Cubans being sorry about Kennedy's murder is just, you know, obviously hogwash. There were parties and documented that the anti-Castro Cuban community in Miami was celebrating. Well, that's not reflected in the Hoover memo. Anyway, did I answer your question?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I think it's a really great question, and I'm not positive that my answer is correct, and I'm interested to hear yours. I just think, you know, you look at this thing and you try to figure it out. What would be the point of Hoover having the meeting with the CIA people if he was involved? What would be the point of him writing the memo and naming George Bush as a supervisor of these guys if he were involved? I think that he was on their side. I think that they needed to find out that he was on their side, and maybe they found that out that night at the party. It's conceivable, although there isn't any evidence. He was merely there, and I think it's just as likely that he was there to compromise him right? To put him in a compromising position, the same way that setting an FBI agent up for the assassination put him in a compromising position. All of these things to try to make sure that they were able to keep him in control during the period after the assassination. I think it's maybe important and interesting to note, and let me just throw this out, I think that it's really interesting. There has been some stuff that came out in the Johnson tapes. There's a conversation, among others, between Connolly and Johnson, and Connolly is trying to sell Johnson on this Oswald was a Cuban agent working for Fidel Castro. As I recall, that's what the bill of goods that Connolly has called to try to sell Johnson on. And Johnson shuts him down and says, look, don't try to sell me that crap. They brought that story to me immediately after the assassination to try to get me to invade Cuba, and we shot it down right then that connection didn't exist, and it didn't exist. Now, what I'm going to say I think is true, but the implications of it are maybe up in the air, which is that after the assassination, the Rockefellers and the Harrimans and the people, the big guys behind it, went to Johnson and said, the Cubans did it, let's invade Cuba, right? They tried to repeat the Bay of Pigs. I got to stop you.
I got to go to a break. Don, got to let you go. Okay, we'll get the answer off the air. Listen for the answer. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, final segment coming up. Stick with us.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com.
All right,
right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Final segment. You only got a few minutes left here, and there's so much more I'm sure that John could share with you about JFK 2, the video, and the assassination of JFK. But in the next couple of minutes, John, if you would, tell the listening audience what they can expect to hear on tomorrow's show regarding JFK Jr.
Okay. I think that... Well, we just got a couple of minutes, and I'll do it in a couple of minutes. When I had just gone out to eat dinner with my wife, and I had heard in the morning that John Kennedy Jr.'s plane was missing, and we go out to dinner, we order the food at our favorite restaurant, and I look up at the screen, and I see these boats going back and forth in the water, and I said, oh my, John Kennedy Jr.'s dead. If they're still looking for him, he's dead. And then Dan Rather came on the screen, and when I saw Rather's face, I literally got sick to my stomach, and they brought all this wonderful food, and I couldn't eat it because I was just sick, knowing that if Rather was involved in the reporting that Kennedy had been murdered, and I don't think we have time to go into all of that, but Rather was the only, for 25 years, he was the only news guy who was allowed to see the Zapruder film, and mm-hmm. he came walking out after having seen it and said that the head president's head clearly jerks forward. So the next day, I open up the paper, and the thing that immediately jumped out in the preliminary investigations that I did in the days after the assassination was the delay in the rescue. There were, on the internet, I was reading this stuff that WCV-TV in Boston had reported that Kennedy had contacted the tower, but that story got, it appeared for a minute, and then it got blanked out from all of the rest of the reporting. Well, on my video, you get to hear the WCVB report where the guy from the Coast Guard announces that Kennedy had indeed contacted the tower at 9:39 and saying that he was 14 miles off the coast. The implications for that, if you contact the tower on final approach and then you don't land, they're supposed to begin a rescue within 5 minutes. And there's I don't know, four or five other pieces of information that indicated that they knew when and where John Kennedy's plane went down before it hit the water, and that you have a conspiracy between the FAA and the Air Force. Gee, where have I heard that one before? The FAA and the Air Force to delay the typical response. Gee, where would have I heard that before? And they kept the Coast Guard. The Pentagon took over the search and rescue. They took it over from the Coast Guard. They called the Coast Guard up and they said, we're in charge and you stay away from the waters off of Martha's Vineyard. And they sent them for 15 and a half hours. For 15 and a half hours, they just stalled the Kennedy family. Right at midnight, Senator Edward Kennedy is calling the FAA to try to get them to launch a search, and they won't do it. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, Edward Kennedy calls up Clinton and wakes Clinton up, and Clinton makes them get some planes. So the first planes aren't launched until 7:30 in the morning. But those planes, when they're launched, are kept out of the waters off of Martha's Vineyard, where they knew the plane had gone down since before it hit the water, based on Kennedy's contact with the tower, based on the transmissions from his transponder and his tail, based on the transmissions from his emergency locator beacon. All of that stuff showed up in bits and pieces in the media, right?
Okay, that was 2 minutes. What I want to do is give the listeners a tidbit here to call their friends, neighbors, and relatives, because we're going to explore this tomorrow.
We'll fill up 2 hours tomorrow.
What's that?
We will fill up 2 hours tomorrow.
Yes, and what I want to do is I want to give, John, give out your website again.
BushKilledJFK.com.
BushKilledJFK.com. www.theamericanawakening.org is my website. You can go in there, watch these videos free. You can go into BushKilledJFK.com. Order a few videos, folks. Burn some copies if you want to. Pass them out to your friends and neighbors. Have them over for a barbecue. We need to get this information out. John, I want to thank you for coming on today.
Okay? Thank you so much for having me.
I will see you tomorrow, and we'll do this again, okay? All right, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. What a show today. Unbelievable, folks. The information just action-packed, I'll tell you what. So I will see you again tomorrow with my guest, John Hanke. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report with John Stadtmiller. And have a good rest of the day. Talk to you later.
It's true.